Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolution.org Hardcore 2.0 is coming your way. This is episode 179. This is going to be one Mobster really was excited to do. And it's Does Sex or Masturbation Help or Hurt Gains on Cycle by Europharma? So this one, we're going to have a mature conversation about this. We're going to go over and we'll have some fun, I'm sure, as well. But we're going to talk about the thread that actually inspired this podcast. Mobster is going to talk about it and present it to you, all of you. The concept of no masturbation, hormonal effects of what happens after, the positives and negatives of masturbation, and why Europharma is the best. So let's just first remind everyone, we are an Apple, we are Spotify. I had someone yesterday asked me about that, and they're like, where can you find your podcast on Apple? You can't go to Apple Music and find it. You have to actually go to the podcast on Apple. So that's very, very important to remember. We are on different social media platforms. We are on evolution.org. You can listen to all the episodes as well. And it's very important that you like, subscribe, comment, give us ratings and all that stuff, because it gets the algorithms going and it gets other people looking at our podcast. So it's very, very important that you help us out to keep this podcast going. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to keep it going. So we're not going to be able to hear a lot of these topics that we talk about that nobody else has the balls to talk about. So let's start off on Mobster. I'll bring you in first. The thread that inspired this podcast.
Yes. So the thread title is Cruise Discipline Log 2025, Steve. And it's over on one of our sister brother forums. There's a link in the comments below. I'll read. This is just a paragraph or so. And it's what inspired us to go away and look at this. And like Steve said, my puerile teenage juvenile sense of humor was somewhat amused to begin with, but we have gone away and looked at the science and looked at the data. So here's the thread, Steve. Long-time lurker, first-time poster. Figured I'd document what I'm running and try something different this time. It's certainly the case here. I am 45 years old, 5'11" tall, 198 pounds weight, body fat circa 18%, visibly soft, but with a muscle base from years of on and off training. I'm currently, and this is important here, Steve, his name is Discipline Stack. He says, currently using 125 milligrams of testing amphate weekly as the TRT goes, cruising after a moderate 12-week blast. So just to be clear, he's actually using TRT. He's not using masturbation in and of itself to boost testosterone, but that is what we're talking about today. He goes on. Right now, I'm focusing on diet cleanup, cardio, mobility, and mental discipline. I've also been experimenting, and this is the thing that inspired the show, Steve, with zero release, in brackets, no FAP, to put it crudely, Steve, no wanking, no masturbation, during cruise phases. I even took it a step further, and this is where my juvenile sense of humor came in, and started using a device to help enforce it. As research for this show, Steve, I've gone away, and you can buy such devices on Amazon, if anybody's that interested, to help enforce it. A kind of tool for control. And this is what's actually good for Discipline Stack. And to hold myself accountable. It is forcing me to stay focused, train harder, and keep my aggression where I want. My libido is through the roof, but I'm channeling it into work and gym time. And he goes on to say, in this thread, I'll be logging my energy, my mood, my libido, my strength, my sleep. And he also finishes by saying, not looking for approval, just sharing the experience and what's working for me. And to be fair, and to echo sentiments that Steve's talked about on other shows, we didn't all immediately jump on his back and, as we say here in the UK, Steve, and start taking the piss. Might have done that off air a little bit and with my buddies, et cetera, et cetera. But for him, and it's important to be clear here, while he's inspired today's show, he specifically, Steve, not looking to boost testosterone because he's on TRT or not boost his testosterone. What he's looking to do here is the idea behind not masturbating focuses him. whether that's because of the urge or the desire, the itch that can't be scratched, whatever you want to call it. So sometimes in life we have certain particular things, whether, you know, if you have a young family, your energy is going to be focused on doing your best you possibly can for your wife and your kids. If you have someone who's ill and you need to work hard to pay for their medication, your energy would go in that direction. Here, the concept, the thought process, is inspired somewhat him to be focused and using, for want of a better phrase, Steve, that energy to sort of push himself in that direction. I will briefly at this point of the show just talk about a little bit of history, the concept or the idea, and it's not specifically around the testosterone advantages or disadvantages, which we will discuss, has been around for a very, very long time. There are sections of certain forums where this whole idea of quote unquote no fapping and specifically the benefits for training is discussed. And historically, religious monks have tried this, Steve. The whole priesthood, et cetera, et cetera, supposed to be quote unquote asexual. Poets, the idea of no masturbation before fights for boxers, et cetera, has been a sort of almost mythical idea since before I was born. And even the idea of the other side of it, the sense of being relaxed, etc., for certain sports. So I've discussed the last couple of days when I've not been joking too much about the whole idea. You know, the concept of if you are sexually active and specifically highly sexed, and prior to it, say, example, a boxing fight, this sense of aggression that may or may not exist, because there's a lot of placebo effect here, might be in play. So you don't make love to the wife, girlfriend, whatever, the night before a fight and lose your edge. You want to go into the fight with an edge. Equally, a sport like, say, for example, golf, Steve, where you might be almost want to be relaxed if focused, there might be a sport where you could specifically make sure that you are sexually active. And this doesn't just include masturbation.
Golf is a sport? I'm just kidding. I just pissed off so many people.
But it's this idea of being either aggressive or not aggressive. But Steve's going to talk about specifically, his side of the research for today's show is in the sort of chemicals that are released post-ejaculation, post-sex. And I'm going to point out to Steve the length of time literally for you to get some benefit, you'd need to be having a wank and then going to the gym, to put it clearly, or a wank and then playing a round of golf. So the whole idea is very, very old. Whether it's working as it appears to be, because it's only a brief thread, Steve, sorry, a brief log, it's only just started, for discipline stack remains to be seen, but we'll have a look at that. But as I said, it inspired us to go away and look at the concept in a scientific way. There are problems with that, which we will discuss during the show. And the main problem, to put it almost slightly tongue-in-cheek and jokingly, Steve, is that the studies have been very poor. And I joked that they've been so poor because they couldn't get that many people to volunteer willingly. How the fuck do you enforce these things? And some of the studies have been very, very short. So it amuses me somewhat that it is a concept that people take seriously, but the science, for the most part, is just badly done. So I find it hard to believe, and we're going to get into the whys and wherefores. So let's do with the concept as a whole. The suggestion is, we will go both pro, for, and against, so to speak. The concept is thus, by withholding, and I use the term that's been used in the past, your essence, i.e. your sperm, by not coming, you're supposed to be able to boost your testosterones into sensible levels. I will, of course, be talking about the pros as well, Steve, and be perfectly honest, because the science is so poor, I'm kind of, let's put it this way, Steve, I'm not anti-masturbation. And if I was being kind of silly with pure old humor or whatever else, you know, the idea of me not waking is just fucking hard to believe.
Yeah, just want to make sure, I'll let you continue, Master, but just make sure everyone understands that we're not anti-masturbation doing this. We're not anti-anything. We're just giving you, what we can find
the
and the
proper
knowledge.
The proper
You know?
science, such as it is, Steve, and Steve's going to
And at the
specifically
end of
talk
the
about
day,
the
you have
benefits.
to make your own decision on if
Yes.
it's going to work for you or not. And we're going to talk about, you know, our experiences and stuff. Go ahead,
I'd
yeah.
imagine for the most part here, Steve, there's an issue for me in terms of the science or whatever, so we will get into this, but for the most part, it's more about what you think on the subject and your sort of you, whether you agree or disagree, and literally that is almost a placebo effect. So if you think not masturbating helps you, and you don't masturbate and it helps you, then it's sort of self-reinforcing. It's a little bit like being told by the witch doctor you're cursed. You have made it be true because you want it to be true. Whereas the science is so poorly done that those people that talk about this as a concept introduce the studies, the same studies that Steve and I can go away and look at. And I go, but that study only had 10 people in. That study, literally the same study, only lasted 7 days. And then I'm almost joking when I say they couldn't get more people to take part in the study and they wouldn't last more than 7 days. And then what did they do? Did they lock them in a room and make sure that they didn't masturbate? It's kind of silly in that particular way. So the concept is, like I said, and it's been discussed for hundreds of years. We've talked about on other shows, Steve, when we talked about the history of testosterone, we discussed what some of the ancient Greeks with the early Olympic Games, the Olympiad, were doing, what some of the Romans did for gladiators, and the idea of some of them was the animal's essence, i.e. cooking and eating, and occasionally raw, the very idea, bull's testicles. So they were kind of thinking about what we think of in terms of PEDs and injectable testosterones and oral steroids, but they were doing this by quote unquote eating the animal's essence. So the suggestion historically is to withhold your essence as a means of boosting your sporting performance. And specifically, because of the purpose of most of these shows, the suggestion of, and it's not the anti-masturbation or pro-masturbation is no better or worse than using a testosterone booster. Or eating bull's testicles or having a good steak the night before you go to the gym in terms of trying to boost your testosterone levels in a significant and meaningful way that will somehow benefit you in the gym. And as I discussed with Steve in the pre-show, and we'll touch upon this towards the end of the show as well, Steve, the concept, for example, of crushing your estrogen or using a specific chemical to boost your natural testosterone levels never, ever takes you above what the body is physically capable of doing. And something Steve said in a pre-show, which is incredibly true here, and it should actually apply in a meaningful, useful way for our listeners. You will see more benefit from eating cleanly, training well, having a reasonably healthy lifestyle, as well as arguably making sure, for example, to filter your water and stay away from toxins and reduce stress in your life up to the natural what your body can produce, than you will, for example, from not masturbating or whatever. But we're going to get into, as I said, the specifics, the science, such as it is, the for and against, and so on and so forth. What do you think about the concept as a whole, Steve, before we get into the rest of the show?
So it's not a black and white topic because there's a big gray area in between. So we used to have a guy on the forum. I think he's still around. He recently got his girlfriend pregnant, and he says that he bangs her 3 times a day, 7 days a week. He's like bragging about it. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's fine and dandy, but look, if you're banging your girlfriend 3 times a day, that's probably taking you like 3, 4 minutes each time. So, you know, is that really going to affect your workout? 3, 4 minutes of exercise, of humping, and then you go to the gym? Compare that to someone who has sex for like 2 or 3 hours straight, and you're sweating and you're worn out, and you have and then you go and try to work out. You see, it's two different things. It's one end of the spectrum and the other. So, or let's say you're on your third date, whatever, and the girl goes back to your place, whatever. And you guys do it like half the night. And then the next morning, you got to wake up and go to the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning. Are you going to have your best workout doing that? No, because you're losing sleep and you've burned up a lot of calories and you blew out your glycogen during the night and you lost a lot of fluid during the night. So, really, one of the things that I learned over the years is afterwards, it's really good to hydrate. It's really good to get a nice carb meal back into your system to kind of restore those glycogen levels so that you can go and hit the gym. Like if I go and do yoga, I'm sweating my balls off. I probably sweat out like 3, 4 pounds of water doing hot yoga. It's like 150 degree heat index in that room. Okay. And if I, do it before and I'm dehydrated and I go into that dehydrated, I'm going to have a really tough time in the class. But if I'm fresh, as Monster said at the beginning, and like he used a boxer analogy, if you're fresh and you've got that baby batter still in your system that you can use on the yoga, then that's a completely, that kind of helps. But on the flip side too, there's advantages because you're going to be releasing a lot of hormones. We're talking about in the next segment. There's things that you're going to be releasing, these hormones that you're going to be releasing afterwards that you can take into your workout. So I've done it each way. I've done, my rendezvous and, for like an hour, right? And back in the day, in my mid 30s, when I was on trend, I wanted to bang everything I ever saw. And I went through a phase where I was hooking up with random chicks, like at least once a week. And then I would, some days I hook up and then I'd go to the gym right after and I'd have some of the best workouts doing that. I would just take some water with me, make sure I hydrate. Maybe I'd take a sports drink with me and make sure I hydrate before. And I was shocked at how good my workouts are. And it's because you release a lot of these hormones that we're going to talk about in the next segment when you do it. So it's, again, it's not black and white. At the end of the day, it's up to you. How do
It's
you react?
impossible for it to be black and white, Steve. As you pointed out, and I've said this on another show, and Steve's actually done sort of lifestyle topics way back that you can check out on the podcast. Sex, libido, testosterone levels, and this is just both with masturbation and physical sex with a partner, are not constants. They're not constants in life. They're not constants in the relationship. The idea that hooking up with someone new and going through the honeymoon period, and as Steve said, being up half the night, and that doesn't last, right? So if you discuss, therefore, this whole concept, it has to be a constant. It can't be that varied up and down and whatever else. I'm reminded, Steve, somewhat of the Cosmo surveys, and it was almost a joke with the Cosmopolitan surveys for women, and to a lesser degree, the similar surveys for men, where every few years it would make for a great headline on the front page of the magazine, and it would discuss the latest sexual survey. I think Masters and Johnson did the classic, and that was worldwide, although it used a lot of American data in the worldwide stuff, whether it was penis size, breast size, sexual, this, that, and the other, and so on and so forth. And even the whole racial stuff gets into it. But the long and the short of it was people lie. It was always kind of funny because the surveys were between the men and women were slightly off. The numbers didn't tally in terms of who was admitting to how much sex they'd had. So if they didn't tally, then obviously someone's lying, or certain people are getting more action. And that's also true. There's always going to be people that masturbate more and people that masturbate less, people that fuck more and fuck less, and so on. And then again, I'd imagine when we all first learn to do it, it's a new and novel toy, and we probably go crazy with it. And then eventually we calm the fuck down and find a sort of routine and so on and so forth. And it's going to vary between the ages of 15 and 60 or 80 or whatever. There's
There was
no
a
constant. So Steve said, it's hard to find data if you was ever going to study this in a meaningful and proper way that is constant, controllable, usable. And they've not done a single study with thousands of people, Steve, and that's what you want. Steve and I just done a couple of shows on the whole GLP-1s, semaglutide and the like, and one of the studies was what, 27,000 people, Steve? That's the kind of numbers you want to get true, meaningful data. And for
Yeah.
guys, to a
It's
lesser
so
degree,
it,
women,
everybody's so different. I'll give you another example. I was watching one of those Oprah shows. There was a guy on there who was an ex-porn addict, and he would spend 7 hours a day watching porn and whacking off to it. So in that situation, do you really think that guy is going to be able to get in good workouts every day? No. So there's extreme situations where it can be a negative, it can be a hindrance. And there's other situations where it can be a positive, and there's other situations where it's somewhere in between. So it's really hard to do a study on something like this. And really, at the end of the day, everybody is so different. Some of you are going to have great energy after, and some of you are going to be like, "Wow, I'm tired, I'm dehydrated, I'm struggling. I need it." If you're going into a powerlifting competition, you're going to try to max out. I'm pretty confident, Mobster, that it would make more sense for you to not do any type of strenuous exercise before. In fact, what I can remember when I was in high school, our weightlifting coach would literally, if we had a meet coming up like the next day and someone even touched the weight, he would like yell at them, "Put that weight down. Save it for your, save it for the meet tomorrow. Don't even touch a weight because we want you to be fresh for your meet. We don't want you to be tired." How many people? How many pro athletes play dual sports at high levels? Very, very few. Deion Sanders did it. He played pro football and he played baseball. Bo Jackson did it for a little while, I believe, as well. But anyway, Deion Sanders, the reason why they didn't want him playing both sports is because they wanted him 100% healthy for one. So he ended up needing the GM or owner to okay that. Like, "Hey, you can play both sports, even during season, we'll let you do that." It takes a special kind of athlete to be able to pull that off, but it is possible. Same thing in NFL with we got a guy in the NFL, Travis Hunter. Now we're doing this podcast. He's a rookie. They haven't started the season yet, but he's supposedly going to be playing offense and defense, Mobster, because that's what he did in college. Very few athletes can pull that off because you're going to be tired. You're not going to have the energy in that fourth quarter if you're playing both sides of the ball and you're running all around the field. It's going to be hard for you to play both offense and defense and play that many snaps. Your conditioning has to be ridiculously good. So there is some truth to this that it can be a hindrance, but then again, there's some advantages to it. And we're going to get into that on the
Yeah,
next
I think
segment.
there's also, just to be clear here, Steve, it's a sexual energy idea or concept versus a bunch of other things. Just let me give you a few examples. I mentioned earlier on about the healthy lifestyle, better food, better diet, less stress. Give you an example, and this is nothing to do with masturbation or sex whatsoever. You can literally affect arguably the sense of focus in the gym with regards to music, with regards to watching certain movies, regards to reading certain parts of a book. There will be things that inspire you. You might be enraged because you've just had a bill through the post that you wasn't expecting, and you go to the gym angry, and you decide, as Steve said, to smash the baby batter out in the gym, meaning that sexual energy, that sort of impetus, and so on. We've talked about, for example, I'm thinking just the Rocky movies here, Steve, where Rocky has the picture of the opponent up on his bathroom mirror. And there was a scene in two or three of the movies where he would at some point finish his training montage, go into the bathroom, and he would tear down that photograph and screw it up. And you knew then, quote unquote, that Rocky was ready. So you could have photographs of yourself out of condition and a photograph of a model or some hero or heroine in condition, and this is what the way that I want to look like. And the idea that could drive you to go to the gym and kick ass. So, right. So that's one sort of the part of the suggestion behind the idea of no fapping, the idea of no masturbation. Does it somehow add something to your workout? And the problem with that is there are so many variables that the only one that we can kind of control, and even then, as I said, the studies are very poor, is the idea of your testosterone level. And the idea, of course, would be that testosterone is somehow in normal individuals and natural levels, not steroidal, that the higher levels of testosterone naturally occur and make you more aggressive. And the reality is, and again, this was a poor study, Steve. I've actually quoted it before. Some person, many, many, many years ago, a scientist went to one prison and took the testosterone levels of a bunch of aggressive prisoners, people that had been charged and found guilty for various crimes that were connected with aggression. And this was not only the crimes themselves, but also the nature of the way that these criminals reacted and responded in prison, i.e. aggressively with each other, aggressively with the prison officers, the COs, as we say in America, and so on and so forth. And the reality was, apparently, and again, single study, that the testosterone levels of them were actually lower than normal. And that was the connection between aggression, that and also the fact that they were in prison, that they'd been caught, that the educational levels were poor, so sometimes the aggression was an inability to express themselves due to a poor education, and just frustration from being where you are, and not, as was previously thought, connected with the testosterone levels. So the idea behind this masturbation, and specifically increased aggression, isn't as straightforward as it needs to be, because it could be. The idea, for example, I would argue, Steve, you know, is sex and masturbation should put you in a good mood versus a bad mood. But what about those people that are somehow, without getting too deep into this side of it, religious, and somehow they've done something, a sin? If they can, how you view personally, as an individual, how you view yourself. I've let myself down by masturbating. You know, my mum wouldn't be happy. Just the whole psychological aspect of it. I'm almost tempted to say, and I've actually had this discussion with a previous girlfriend, that sometimes the over-analysis of these concepts somehow in and of itself takes something away from either the fun of sex and also the enjoyment, arguably, of is it as really complicated as you're trying to make out with regards to having a good workout? There are people, and we've discussed this on other shows, and perhaps even the future show, that are they won't go to the gym, Steve, unless certain things have taken place, or they can't have a good training session unless they've used an oral steroid or the various many pre-workout products and so on and so forth. And you and I are both don't really, it's not really been something that drives our workout. So it's difficult for me to get into the whole pre-workout product thing and so on. And the idea that I can't have a good workout because of sex, or I can't have a good workout because of pre-workout, or I can't have a good workout for a variety of other reasons. In reality, because you and I have been training such a long time, our bodies almost not quite autopilot, but we go to the gym and we're able to get shit done, even if it's just because we follow the fucking plan that we've written down, so long as we've got a good night's sleep and so on. And in fact, let's touch upon some of those aspects as well, Steve. And Steve had mentioned this as well. Look, a good night's sleep, preceded perhaps by sex or masturbation to help you to go to sleep, would be more useful than holding a baby battering in the morning before you go for a workout in the daytime. Properly being hydrated, like Steve said, would be more useful. Having a specific target for the workout. The food that you ate the night before, as well as the food you have in the morning. Some people have to have a certain number of meals before they go to the gym. Those factors, those things, I would argue, are way more important than fapping or not fapping for a workout. And I've finished this particular thought, and I've argued and indeed been banned twice on Facebook from two groups. And one was specifically talking about the super slow protocol. And I'm going to apply it here with regards to the suggestion of discussion of fapping or no fapping. I got thrown off that particular one because I felt I pointed out they were more wasting more energy and focus in the time up on the positive and the time down on the negative on the super slow protocol than they were getting to the fucking gym and getting shit done. And for me, this topic kind of is in that particular area in regards to there's a section on Reddit where they are discussing this like it's a real big deal. And I guarantee you that there is no one on that section that is walking around with 20-inch arms, benching 500 pounds and looking to win the Mr. Olympia because of how many times they didn't masturbate. So it's a kind of daft thing, but we want to look at the studies as well, Steve. So let me discuss one of the studies, and I'm going to bring Steve in specifically to talk about the hormones, and I'm going to talk about that as well with Steve in the back and forth. So one of the main studies, and this is very poorly done, that is often referred to with regards to the suggestion that a lack of masturbation somehow boosts testosterone levels. And it's very, very common, Steve. And I mentioned it a little bit earlier on. The study was 7 fucking days. Steve and I did the GLP-1 studies. Some of those were 48 months, almost 48 weeks. And one study was, I think, 60 weeks. So a study that lasts a week really isn't reflective. That's number one. Number two, that same study had 10 fucking participants. 10 is nothing. As I said, GLP-1 again, 20-something thousand. Certainly, I think one figure was 17,000. Most of the other studies were 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000. 10 people taking part in a study is just poor, to say the least. There was some suggestion that the baselines weren't properly recorded. So they had a baseline. They did this, but it's not easily available for us to look at. And in a few of the participants, from baseline, after 7 days, but literally just after 7 days, and the science carries on from that point, they had a boost of 150%, meaning 50% above baseline levels. However, the science then goes on to say something to the effects of, but it doesn't necessarily last much beyond the 7 to 10 day mark, and then would drop off again. So we get into the stuff that Steve and I have touched upon in other shows, which is this idea of any of these suggested protocols, any of the quote-unquote testosterone-boosting things that you can do, somehow taking you to the nth degree in being comparable somehow to steroids or to the other things that we've suggested that would make for better workouts and better training and better results. And the reality is just, it doesn't happen. I think Steve and I have discussed on other shows that natural testosterone levels typically, and I think I'll bring Steve into this as well to confirm, are somewhere between, at the low end, 300, 350 nanograms a deciliter, Steve, and at the upper end, and this is quite rare, 900 nanograms a deciliter. So most people healthy, with good diets, good training, etc., should fall somewhere into the middle of that range. Now, we've discussed shows on fertility where we talked about the actual testosterone levels are falling naturally, and there's reasons why, and other shows well worth a listen. What do you think about this idea somehow that no masturbation, Steve, might boost you somehow beyond that, and in reality doesn't, and therefore can it have a positive or negative effect?
Well, let's talk about the science here. What happens after you have sex and or masturbate? And there's a few different hormones that happen, and this will kind of answer this question for you. And a lot of you may notice afterwards, you may get tired, you may get hungry, things change in your body, and a lot of these hormones will change, and then they'll change back over time. So you'll lose that hormone, and I'm going to go over each one. So dopamine is the first one I want to talk about, and dopamine is the feel-good hormone that people experience. You might experience it different ways, biting into that cheat meal, hitting a big hand when you're gambling, favorite team makes a winning play, getting a text back from that person you're into. That gives you a nice dopamine rush, makes you feel good, right? It also happens during orgasm and sexual arousal. So it's going to hit your reward center and make you feel happy. So you can get the dopamine effects also by using drugs like Caber or Promi. So those are, out there as well. And those will actually work at dropping prolactin and boosting dopamine in the body as well. So those are different. Those are things that happen. So this feeling good, this could be something where you have that feel-good dopamine rush, and then you go and do your workout, and it kind of works in your favor in that situation. But again, it's going to go away over time. This is why with addictions, you get that initial feel-good. It could be snorting that cocaine or hitting that heroin or whatever. You get that initial rush, and then it goes back away, and then you got to go back and hit it again. So again, you feel good after having sex. A lot of people have sex addictions or porn addictions or masturbation addictions. You got to keep going back because eventually that will wear off, you see? So that kind of
In relation, Steve, to the topic. So there's two questions here. And Steve's quite clear on the feel-good hormones that are released after sex. So there's two points of discussion. One would be how long, and Steve just touched upon it in regards to the addictions, how long does that feel-good part last? And secondly, specifically the idea of not masturbating, does not masturbate and therefore not allow you to have some of these feel-good hormones from sex, somehow give you an edge or allow for a boost in testosterone. I would argue, Steve, that as you've just pointed out, one example would be that there are feel-good hormones can be produced for other things, like Steve said, gambling, seeing winning, and so on. One study on testosterone, Steve, some years ago, took the pinprick blood test, minimal way of measuring testosterone levels, between the fans of a football team, a soccer team, or a match that had just been played, and they found that the testosterone levels in the fan whose team had won was slightly higher than the fans of those team who'd lost. And the idea being that happy people had higher testosterone levels because their team had won, and unhappy people because their team had lost had lower testosterone levels. And it's one of those, well, it's not fucking rocket science. The feel-good hormone thing is a good example, and Steve's example of the gambling and having to go back with an addiction is a good example. And even that person that was masturbating, watching porn for 7 hours a day with their sexual addiction. I would argue here, and I kind of joked with Steve in the off air, that unless you're having a wank or sex literally half an hour before you go to the gym, and how long it took for the feel-good hormones to dissipate and for you to return to normal, it won't be that long of a time, realistically. I think when you're first in love, there's an argument to be made for the sex being so amazing, you walk around with a stupid grin on your face. But now, when you've been in a relationship for a long period of time, the sexual glow, the feel-good hormones, doesn't last all fucking day. If it did, we'd be distracted from doing shopping and working and studying at college or whatever.
Yeah.
So the idea again
it's
is...
It's in there, yeah. It's an evolutionary trait that's happened
yes,
to all animals.
Yes, I said to you, we wouldn't be physically capable of doing stuff if we went back to some sort of love days, feel-good hormone, I've just had sex, not being able to move. We'd get killed. The same thing applies to the gym. The same thing applies to boosting your testosterone.
The satisfaction only lasts a certain amount of time. It's not going to last forever.
Yes.
Otherwise, we'd
does
have
the
no
frustration,
reason to go back. Yeah.
Yeah, does the lack of hormone release do the same? I would argue no, because the same thing applies. If you somehow had an edge from not masturbating, from not releasing, how long would that last? What happens if you have a wet dream in the middle of the night?
Mm.
The suggestion... I mean, the whole feel-good hormones things apply. Arguably, Steve, one of the things that we do when we go to the gym is we get those feel-good hormones from training.
Mm-hmm.
If we make a max lift, if we have a pump.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. Let me continue. Yeah. The next one is oxytocin, and this is the hormone that's released. This is known as the love hormone. So many relationship experts say that that's one of the big reasons that we bond with each other. After we do it together, and especially women will bond with men because this hormone gets released, and it's a very relaxing hormone. And you can actually buy this in peptide form and inject it if you like to get that feeling. It's sort of like a love potion, you know. If there's someone you're interested in, you can try to inject them with this with some oxytocin. Maybe they'll fall in love with you, you know. After you inject them with some of this peptide. So that's an interesting one, oxytocin. Another one is endorphins, and Mobster was kind of getting into it. And endorphins, you definitely get this after sex, so you'll still get it after a nice workout too. And endorphins are a natural painkiller. So I noticed this, you know, very interesting thing happened to me back when I was doing endurance sports. I'd have these injuries in my legs and stuff, so... And of course, you know, you prepare for these, you know, competitions and stuff. And of course, back then, you know, I was hard-headed, so I'd go through with it, even if I was injured. And one of the interesting things that we see, and we see this in pro sports as well, we see people have horrible injuries on the football field, breaking bones and tearing ligaments, and they still finish the game. Why is that? Well, it's because the endorphins are going. And it's basically a natural painkiller. So once those endorphins go away, then the pain comes back. And you're like, oh, shit, I broke my leg. Oh, shit, I tore my ACL. Well, you still finish the game anyway. And that's why. That's why you see this. There was a famous Super Bowl story with a player. He went to make a tackle, and he broke a bone, and he stayed in the game and he finished the game, and then he had to have surgery in the offseason. He was out like for 4 months. But that's a, you know, that's a perfect example. It's a Super
Let
Bowl.
me
Your
give you a
endorphins are
really
going to
good
be.
example here, Steve. Sorry to interrupt. There's a really good example and very specific related, ironically, to what we're talking about today. And I saw this on Instagram, and it was a athlete of some other sport saying, the hardest man ever has to be the following individual. And it was I believe an English, I think he might have been Welsh rugby player. And the story was thus, that in the scrum, when they're trying to move the ball up the pitch in rugby, there's a lot of grabbing and pushing and things that if the referee doesn't see it can carry on. It's got better now than it used to be. And in particular, it was so quote unquote violent that one of the athletes somehow managed to get his scrotum torn and one of his raw testicles was hanging outside his scrotum. And rather than leave the pitch, he had the tape round his testicle, round his ball sack, pushed them back inside his pants, and finished the match before going to hospital. So the pain, the adrenaline, the feel-good hormones, the endorphins from playing sport versus the unbelievable fucking potential pain here of any man that's ever listened to this show who's ever had some pain in their testicles, being kicked in their testicles. Ever seen a movie where a man gets kicked in his testicles and the men in the audience will all go, because they all know what that pain is like. Up, right up there with women giving birth to a child, et cetera, et cetera. And the joke being for that particular one, that women will say that giving birth is worse. And the men says, ever ask a man if he wants to get kicked in his testicles more than once versus women wanting to have more than one child. So the concept, the idea, the pain that's possible there is just unbelievable. Carry on with that for a second.
All right, so let's move on to the next one, and we're gonna talk about testosterone now. And look, some studies show that testosterone is released, but this bounce is very temporary. So some gurus believe that the more you have sex or masturbate, the higher testosterone goes. But here's the thing, there's studies out there that show that it's the opposite. So men who abstain from sex or masturbation for a long period actually had higher testosterone. So we've seen this work both ways, and we've seen studies that show the opposite. So it really just depends on each individual situation on that. So next one is cortisol. And cortisol tends to drop from masturbation, helping calm a person down. So if you're looking to be aggressive, as Mobster said at the beginning, with boxing or MMA or something, or powerlifting, something where you're doing something very aggressive, you may work this may work against you having the cortisol down. But if you like to go to the gym and just have a nice workout and really just kick ass and focus, then this may work to your advantage. And this is something that I noticed when I was working out. I was able to focus more afterwards from and this could be why, because this cortisol drop actually works in your favor from it. The last one we're talking
It's
about is.
also a catabolic hormone, Stephen. There's an argument to be made here as a positive for masturbation, as a positive for sex, that by re removing or lowering the catabolic hormones that are in your body, i.e., those things that hold you back from gaining muscle, by re lowering those hormones, you might arguably increase your gains. So increase your ability to add muscle. So there's a for and against again, right there.
Yeah, and there are benefits of cortisol for weight training, actually. So, and you said the kind of negative part, but it's actually very important for energy metabolism and muscle building. So sometimes you see some of these fake gurus on social media talk about, oh, cortisol is bad for you. No, because it's going to
It
help mobilize.
gets you out of bed in the morning, Steve. It's one of the
Yeah.
hormones, along with, ironically, testosterone, that is temporarily
Yeah.
boosted when
See,
sunlight hits your eyelids. It's what
so
gets you out of,
it's
wakes you up.
important that you need cortisol because it's going to mobilize the glucose from the bloodstream. So that's going to give you the fuel to be able to power your muscles during your workout. So, and then during your training, the reason cortisol starts spiking during your training, it's for a reason. So let's say you just had sex and you go to work out. Well, your cortisol is going to bounce right back during your workout because it's helping to promote the muscle protein synthesis that you need while you train. So that's the whole point. We stress out the muscle, it helps. So these online gurus are like, oh, prolongment's bad for you. You gotta drop your clone. They're just fucking, they're just parrots. You know, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. So this is one of those things where we talked about in the last segment. Things change. When you do
Yes.
it, it's going to drop. When you start working out, it's going to go right back up. So it's not a long-term thing where it's dropping your cortisol forever.
Let me
It's
touch on that. I was actually laughing off air as Steve was talking about the gurus. And this is the thing, guys. When we talk about any of these concepts, and specifically today's concept, the idea that this thing would happen in isolation and for a certain period of time is kind of silly. Steve and I have talked about human nature and our ability to survive as a species over the 2 million years, arguably 4 million years, that primates have stood up in somewhere in the middle of Africa and become vaguely human. A civilization, arguably 40,000, 100,000 years old, and the way that we respond to each other as individuals in society. The idea somehow that sex or lack thereof would somehow, and we've already touched upon this, negatively or positively impact the rest of your fucking day. And even, for example, if this concept arguably had any meaningful, useful, studied protocol that could kind of affect it, as we've already put it out, in terms of sexual release, if it had that much of an effect, we wouldn't be able to function as a species. If it How close to a workout, how close to that part of the day where you're trying to add muscle post-workout through nutrition, how close to those time scales would it need to be for it to have an effect? And if it did have an effect, Steve, would it be an hour? What about the other 23 hours? Would it be half an hour? All right, what about the other 23 and a half hours? The ability for our bodies to bounce back and carry on and do things, even just by virtue, as I touched upon earlier on with Steve, of the frequency and the sheer number of years that Steve and I and many of our listeners have had in going to the gym, all being able to function. Imagine, for example, listeners, both for and against, positive and negative, that if you had sex or didn't, or masturbate or didn't, and then went to work and did your job that required a certain level of your attention for the day. So that part of us, that ability to focus. There's an argument about putting us in a good mood. That kind of works. There's an argument about the for and against a certain particular hormones. But what if something occurs to during the day to stress you? I would argue sometimes, Steve, that when we respond to stress, at work would be a good example, in a gym would be a good example. We're sometimes at our best under stress, when we're not being pushed, when we're not being driven to perform, when we're not in work, for example, having someone give us a hard time and making us hit better targets than we did last month, and us getting pissed off about it, and then going out and smashing those targets, wouldn't be positively or negatively affected by whether or not we'd masturbated that morning. I don't think it'd make any difference. We might start out feeling great, then the boss gives us shit. Then we go, the boss is an arsehole. Then we go and prove the boss wrong. It's got nothing to do with where we were masturbating in the morning. And if it did, it would have to have some sort of endocrine hormonal effect on our body for 8, 9, 10 hours. And it doesn't. There's an argument, for example, Steve, in terms of stress reduction. I agree. But again, temporarily. All the hormones that Steve talks about absolutely exist. And we know that these studies have looked at these things
Yeah,
afterwards
I got
and they've
one
seen them.
more.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, let's talk about prolactin. Prolactin is going to go up after sex or masturbation. And again, this is temporary. It's going to shoot up. And then this becomes your refractory period, the time that it takes to drop back down. So that's the time where you're losing interest in sex for a period of time. So this is important. This is an evolutionary trait. Otherwise, all we'd want to do all the time was fornicate. So we would basically, our ancestors would have done nothing but fornicate all day and night. Same thing with dogs, same thing with cats. They're all they want to do is fornicate. That where do they
And
have time to
we'd
hunt? Where do they
starve to
have?
death, or we'd all die
Yeah.
first, or something.
And some people, you know, there's a way you can actually get your prolactin levels down. And that's by taking drugs like CABA or Prami. And I talked about that as well with dopamine. So a lot of people like to take CABA and Prami. Your pharmacies have some great caber, by the way. So if you want to drop your prolactin and have that shortened refractory period and want to be able to, on your honeymoon or on your vacation, do it all the time, that's, you know, that's, that would be a good time to do it. You know, hey, you're on vacation. Let's spend half our vacation doing it. You know, we can do it in the jacuzzi. We can do it in the bed. We can do it in the, you know, all over the resort. We can go in the fucking beach and do it in the water. Just do it, do it, do it. That would be a great way to do it. So that would be something you can look into, taking some caber and going to a Eurofarma and getting it. So let's talk about the final positives and negatives of masturbation.
Yeah.
Specifically, and again, I'll repeat, we're not anti-masturbation, but I do want to state some of the things that we're going to talk about.
We have to give both sides. Absolutely.
Yeah, so let me give three negatives, and I'll let Momster talk about the positives. So number one, time wasting. How much time do you waste masturbating every day? Is it an hour? Is it 2 hours? Is it like that guy on the show who's spending 7 hours? That could be time that you could spend building a business. Could be time you could spend training. Are you neglecting your family? Are your kids, you know, downstairs and you are in your office, you know, masturbating while you could be playing with your kids? Are you in a situation where you're not going to the gym because you'd rather spend an hour masturbating instead? I mean, this isn't good. So this is something to think about in the future. Dehydration, make sure that you're rehydrating. Don't dehydrate yourself. You're going and you're having sex for like 3 hours and you're getting all sweaty. You're losing a lot of fluids. You want to make sure you rehydrate, because if you do some hard, you know, training, if you do a lot of cardio and you sweat your balls off, it's not getting any cooler out there. Okay. Especially we're doing this podcast during the summer in North America. It's pretty fucking hot all over the place. You gotta get those fluids back in. Otherwise, you can end up getting heat exhaustion. Losing sleep or energy. Look, if you stay up, masturbate or having sex or whatever, and you're watching OnlyFans or you're watching webcams all night. I have a friend who used to spend half his night chatting with chicks on AOL Instant Messenger. It's gone now, but back in the day, and he'd come to my house and he'd log in his AOL Messenger. He was so addicted to it, and there would be chicks like
Larry Wills admit to spending over $100,000 on live chats on one of his videos.
And it's a waste. It's a waste of time. Like, that could be time you're sleeping, recovering from your you know, your workouts, and you're not going to get back that sleep. That's the thing about sleep. Once you lose it, it's gone for good. You can't take a time machine and go back and get it. So how much time are you spending wasting your time and wasting your money on this type of stuff? So those things to think about. So, Mobster, talk about some positives.
Well, there's an absolute, listen, when it comes to sex itself, you have to be both obviously physically, but I would argue emotionally, socially connected with your sexual partner. So that's important. There's an argument here, Stephen, I'll quote this: engaging in sexual self-exploration and pleasure can boost self-confidence and body image. And again, feel-good hormones, how you see yourself, the fact that you might arguably, again, with a partner, feel sexually attractive is a good thing. Lots of people fuck and or masturbate just before sleep, Steve. And lots of people will tell you, whether it's a glass of, you know, a shot of scotch or having sex before you go to sleep, clears the air in terms of the arguments, arguably, or the stresses of the day, but also helps relax people so that they're more likely or more inclined to go to sleep immediately. Ironically, Steve, sometimes it's been said that men falling asleep straight after sex when they could have had a cuddle is a bit of a problem, but you're going to get a better night's sleep. There's obvious things there in terms of, there's some studies, and I say suggest, I use that word carefully here, because obviously, again, studies need to be slightly clearer in terms of, but there's some studies that suggest that masturbation may positively impact focus and concentration by increasing neurotransmitters involved in learning and memory. And arguably, Steve, the ability to focus and concentrate when you're doing a workout, I would argue, therefore, we could say here that masturbating actually make the workout better. But again, the problem with all of this stuff, and let me quote this last specific thing before we talk about Eurofarmacies. While the suggestion of NoFap, in brackets, abstaining from masturbation, can increase testosterone levels, the scientific evidence is limited. Look, here's the problem, and we touched upon this at the beginning, during the middle, and I'll finish on this point as well. The problem with all of the science, all of the suggestions, all of the protocols, all of the even strapping a device on, is that most of the science is very, very poor. And I touched upon why. I said literally not getting thousands of volunteers to say that they won't masturbate or stop having sex for a long period of time voluntarily is difficult. Literally, medical doctors saying to you, the worst thing that could possibly happen from normal levels of masturbation is chafing. And some masturbation and some sex is perfectly normal. You get into the whole psychological side, and a lot of the things that we refer to today are as arguably psychological as they are physical. So the idea of something has power versus the actual science saying it does. So what you think of something and how you feel about that is arguably what's important. And again, I'll go into the Europharmacist things now, Steve, but specifically, I made a note, and I said this to Steve at a pre-show. None of these concepts and none of these policies, none of these suggestions, none of the ideas are anything like close enough to the way that you'll be on steroids, and especially using Europharmacist. Talk about briefly, and especially with regards to Europharmacist, just how people's libidos can be affected and the amount of testosterone, even on a relatively simple and effective cycle from Europharmacist, in comparison to, say, none of these protocols. And I think I said to Steve, I said 2 to 3 times above baseline is normal.
Yeah, and Europharmacies, look, they have excellent products and ancillaries to help you. So I talked about the CABR that they have. A lot of you may have never heard of cabergoline. And CABR is one of those that you can take. It's going to help control your prolactin, and it's going to boost your dopamine. So you get a lot of those hormones, you get that advantage, and that's going to help your sex life. Also, they have excellent dick drugs. I know Mobster, you just posted a post. You got your Europharmacy Cialis.
My touchdown, yeah. Cialis and Viagra.
Yeah. So those are great to take before. The Cialis has a long half-life, so you can take it every other day, and it'll be in your system and take care of that. The testosterone options they have is amazing, and most people react extremely well to taking testosterone when it comes to their libido and their sex life. It's going to help with your aggression. It's going to help with your endurance. Yep. It's going to help with a lot of different things that can help you have a better sex life. And they have every type you could imagine, every type. They have blends. They have single esters. They have short esters. They have long esters. They have every type you can. And a lot of you also will react really well to things like the DHT steroids. A lot of these DHT derivatives, the proviron, will really work great at boosting your DHT in your system, and that's your sex hormone, and that will help your sex life a lot tremendously. What else do you like from Europharma Mobster for this?
I was thinking, Steve, whether it's TRT or whether you're an advanced competing athlete that's used Europharmacist products, and we've discussed the late, great Marco Louis, aka Monstro, being a big fan of Europharmacist, and he was using in excess of 5,000 milligrams total for some of his competition stacks. And we've discussed briefly the idea, and I said this already, in research for this show, Steve, you go away, you look online, and especially on the forums, and you see people talk about libido, and you see briefly people talk about masturbation. It is most people's experience, and especially with a company like Europharmacies, that when they're on cycle, the libido goes up. Their sexual energy goes up. Think trends Steve touched upon earlier on, and Europharmacies does a great trend with the idea of him wanting to, quote unquote, grab every piece of arse he could see within, you know, 10 square miles at the particular time. Even for me, I didn't think that TRT would make that much of a difference, but it certainly put me back probably 5 or 10 years in terms of my libido. So, you know, not necessarily crazy, like it might be on cycle, but certainly a boost to where it was prior to TRT. So I love the idea. And look, some people are such a fan of using anabolic steroids, and that's what we discuss on these shows a lot, and specifically Europharma, because they love how they feel sexually, and whether that's masturbation or with a partner on cycle. It can be a little bit of a head fuck doing a PCT and coming back down to normal levels, but again, that's just gives you an example of where you can be in that situation. And even the thread that was right at the beginning of this show, even with Discipline Stack, the user himself, he's on 125 milligrams a week. And I would argue, Steve, that is for the same reasons I've just stated. So actually, if he changed his TRT dose, perhaps that might affect him wanting to masturbate more or less. Listen, what do we do in these shows? Just to finish, Steve, we try to give you subjects that other podcasts won't discuss. We try to do it in a proper, we didn't really go down the rabbit hole of being juvenile with some of the comments that we could have done, just very, very briefly. We tried to be as scientific and straightforward as possible. We've discussed a relatively adult concept or theme here with you guys. Ultimately, Steve, for me, and without meaning to sound childish when I say this, I would argue that we think masturbation, unless you're doing it 7 hours a day, is perfectly healthy, perfectly normal. There's plenty of prostate release there. The science that kind of backs this stuff up is limited. And providing you're not masturbating in the car park outside the fucking gym, Steve, I can't see that it's going to make that much of a difference. If you have a wank in the morning and you go to the gym at 5 o'clock at night, it's not really going to make much of a difference to your workout. So I would say for the most part, I'm pro-masturbation. And God help me, Steve, that's probably going to bite me in my ass if I ever become famous. So Mobster said he was for wanking. But I'm pro-masturbation versus anti. But
they're gonna label you the dirty old man.
Yeah, I'm going to be like Donald Trump and they're going to dig this one up 20 years from now. I've somehow become famous and they'll find this show said Mobster was for wanking, not against wanking, or something daft like that. But for the most part, most of these concepts, it's what, and I said this already, Steve, it's how you think. If you feel like it makes you better in the gym, go for it. I would argue for the most part, the science doesn't really back that up. And if a doctor or doctors are saying masturbation is perfectly healthy, if athletes, arguably genetic freaks, get something from having sex, and providing you're not literally doing it just before the game, in the case of American football, or whatever, or as you walk, as I said jokingly, to the gym via the car park in the car outside or whatever the hell, it's not going to make that much of a difference. And unless, like Steve said, you're up after night shagging for your country in that honeymoon period of you occasionally enjoy a few times in life with different partners, it's not going to dehydrate you that much. It's not going to exhaust you that much. And it's not really going to have that dramatic. And arguably, none of the science, none of the people that talk about this concept can argue properly that it boosts you to anywhere close to PED-like levels. So we talk about companies like Eurofarma because we know the difference to our bodies, the physiological differences, the chemical differences to our body on cycle are above and beyond anything that can be done naturally. And it really isn't going to make that much of a difference to your life if you masturbate or don't. It really is not. So for the most part, pro-masturbation, for masturbation, the benefits for and against scientifically are really poor. If it's so poorly studied, it's so poorly laid out in studies, if the results are really arguable that much, then the idea that the concept has any kind of water that's useful and that backs up people's thinking is bad. Let me just finish on this final thought, Steve. We try to put as much proper science and thought processes into these topics as possible. And I said jokingly with Steve yesterday when we were recording another show that we could almost find online, on Reddit, on Google, anything, there'd be someone somewhere or a page someone somewhere on the internet that would back up the most asinine, silly, moons made of cheese concept that you care to. And if you want, and the algorithm sometimes does this, it will find page after page that supports the theory that you have. And the key that you need to do with any of these kind of concepts and theories is you must look at the for and against. You must look at how good or bad the studies were. You must look at the actual results, the actual science. And for the most part, there is zero really arguable to support the idea of not masturbating and it somehow being useful and boostful for your workout and in terms of your anabolic response to your body, in terms of the stuff that we all do with these shows, whether that's losing weight, gaining muscle, putting an inch on your arms, or whatever. So let us know your thoughts. Keep it clean if you possibly can, guys. Try and argue, please argue the science. Please show us studies that we didn't look at or doctors that do agree or disagree with some of the concepts we've discussed on this show. Please note, we are not doctors ourselves and our opinions are ours. It is our view and based on our experience of views on the topic. And podcasts are for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment applies.